Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 says, "See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction." Let's pray. Father, be with us here this afternoon. May your word come forth with clarity and understanding as we talk about the heart for the family, Lord God, reaching families for your honor, for your glory. Father, I pray that the children would be blessed, parents would be blessed here this afternoon. We give you the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Before you're seated, shake your neighbor's hand and ask them, do you have a heart for your family? Then you may be seated. We had a great time in worship, great time in fellowship. Prayerfully, we're going to have a great time in the Word. And here this morning, I want to talk to you about the family. God has been impressing upon my heart for the family. I don't know if it's been because lately I've been helping coach my son's baseball team. I've had the opportunity to be there with him and to share with him, to talk to him, and to see him when he's down. You know, you got to encourage him. See him when he's happy. Continue to guide him and, you know, where to direct that joy and happiness. Just been having a great time. Even the other night, I had the opportunity to go with my son to a baseball game. That was really cool. And to see him, you know, chant "Beat LA," that was awesome. You know, you know you're passing down the right things when you hear your son chant "Beat LA." Amen. And it was just a joyous moment. Do we have any Dodger fans here? Any Dodger fans? We got three. Wow, look at that. Amen. We'll have a specific altar call for all three of you at the end of this service. I don't mind the A's. Amen. That's fine. They haven't won anything in a long time anyways. So, oh, that was cold, huh? I shouldn't have said that. That's cold. I apologize. I really have nothing against the A's. I really don't. I really don't. You think I do? I really don't. I love them. Matter of fact, May 15th, we're going to be having Pastor Napoleon Kaufman. He is the current and ex-running back for the Oakland Raiders. So he's going to be here May 15th. Mark your calendars. Great time. Napoleon Kaufman. Amen. A heart for the family. I want to ask you something. Have you ever been in a store with your children and your child, your young child, and you've gone there into the store, and your son or daughter, they just begin to throw a fit, and you try to put them in their place, and all of a sudden they cross their arms and go, "You don't love me anymore." Maybe it wasn't a store, maybe it was a shopping store, a grocery store, or maybe you were just out the playground, and you try to put them in their place. And they go, "You don't love me anymore." And right away, the parent's reaction is like, "Get over here. You're embarrassing me. Don't disrespect me." Right? That's kind of like, don't embarrass me. You're being disrespectful. And so right away, in that scenario, there's two things that are happening. Number one, the kid wants love. And number two, the parent wants respect. And so right away, we see something that is going on that has been happening from generation to generation. Parents want respect, kids want love. And if we don't recognize these certain things, we're going to lose this cycle, and there's going to be a crazy cycle that just continues to happen generation after generation after generation after generation. See, when a child feels the love, there becomes a positive desire to respond in an acceptable manner. And even when the parent feels the respect, they want to give the love that is needed to preserve even a healthy family. Now today, I want to give you a lot of scriptures that will allow you to dive into your family pool that are prayerfully going to preserve this. Now, it's very important because a lot of times here this morning, let me ask you this even before I get into it. How many of you have your children, doesn't matter their age, your children or grandchildren, they're living at your house. They're under your roof. Raise your hand. Okay. So we got quite a few. Now, how many of your parents, you have children that are not living with you? They're just out and about. Now, how many of you have both? You have some living, some without. Okay, so we have a little bit of here and there, right? It's kind of here and kind of there. And I also want to apply this to those of you parents that you think, well, my kids are up and gone and they're out of the house. I don't have to do anything anymore. It's not how it works. That's not how it works. Now, even so, right now in this momentary spiritual appointment of, oh, yeah, that's true. A lot of times, Monday through Saturday, we actually think the opposite. We think, oh, out of sight, out of mind. He's his own kid. He's his own, you know, he does his own thing. No, you are still the parent. And you still, listen, it's your job to preserve principles. That's your job. Preserve principles. If they're out of the house. If they're in the house, it's your job to instill principles. Are you hearing me? I'm going to say that one more time. If they're out of the house, it's your job to preserve principles. Keep them preserved like salt to the earth. That's what we're called to do, right? To be salt. If they're in your house, it's your job to instill principles. Amen? And so we talked about this here this morning, and when I shared in Malachi chapter 4 about the hearts of the children and the hearts of the parents, how they're turning towards one another. And here this morning, I want to take a look at three areas, really two, but there's one I'll just share with you that are very important of having a heart for the family. And number one is the love and respect are the basics or even the foundation of the family. The love and respect are the basics of the family. Now, I say this because God has really been impressing this message upon my heart for some time now, but I've kind of shied away from it. But here this morning, I wanted to really get into this to make sure we understand, because I know a lot of times we come to church and we lift our hands, but right before we lifted our hands, we wanted to smack with our hands our children that were not listening to us. And so a lot of times the enemy can mess with your mind and saying you're a hypocrite because you lift your hands, but really you want to beat them. You want to kill angels. Oh man, I'm just going to strangle her. I'm going to strangle him. And so I want to make sure that we understand we come from a foundation of love. Somebody say love. And also respect. Somebody say respect. And so the area that we're going to look at, love and respect. Number two, we're going to look at this crazy cycle. This crazy cycle. We need to stop this crazy cycle. And number three, we're going to look at guides for the family. So first, we're going to look at stopping the crazy. We're just going to call it that. Stop the crazy. Look at your neighbor and say, stop the crazy. In just about everybody's household, including mine, we have a crazy. There is a crazy. Now, I'm not talking a particular person. It could be if you want it to be. If you don't know who it is, it's probably you. But this craziness jumps on everybody in the house. It just jumps on everybody. Sometimes it's the dad. Sometimes it's the mom. A lot of times it may be the children, but we're going to talk about that right now. While you may think, oh, it's always the kids. Not necessarily. They get it from somewhere. It doesn't just pop out of nowhere. So I want to talk about stopping this crazy, because a lot of times this is what we do, especially as parents. When we don't understand it, we reject it. I don't get it, so just forget it. Just do whatever you want. I don't even care. Even though in your heart you really do care, you just don't know how to look at it. So I want to talk about stopping this crazy, and why? Because the enemy, he tries to come in and he tries to infiltrate our families, and he tries to distort and tries to twist the principles of God in our family. And if we don't understand the principles that God has put in our families, then my friend, we're going to lose the plan that God has for our lives. So the families is very, very important. Now, have you ever thought in your mind, if the kids would only cooperate, I would be an awesome parent. If the kids would only listen, man, I would get an award every week. We're going to look at some scriptures. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures. And I want to challenge you. If you've never taken notes, you don't have to take notes on my message, but write down these scriptures, because they're very important. I like what my wife does. My wife does this. What she does is she comes and she prints out pieces of paper, and she put, if you've ever come to my house, and she cuts them out and she puts them all over the house. She puts scriptures. She'll put Proverbs here. She'll put Isaiah there. She'll put Ecclesiastes here on the refrigerator. If you come to my house, you'll see it's in my living room. It's in my bedroom. It's in the kids' room. We have scriptures in our bathroom. I mean, we got scriptures all over the house. So for those of you, listen, I want you to know something. A scripture is not just a decorative piece over your fireplace. Oh, this looks good. Let's put it here. No, it is there to speak life into your household. Faith comes by and hearing the word of God. So sometimes when you read it, sometimes you got to hear it. So I challenge you, get these scriptures, put them in your house. Amen. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 25. I'm also going to put them up here on the screen for many of you. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 25, it says, may your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful. Some of your translations say, be happy. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. Foolishness, some of your translations say silliness, is bound in the heart of a child. Now listen to me, this is very important. Kids do silly things. Now I know it's an understood thing, but do you embrace that idea? You understand it, but do you embrace it? See, it's natural for kids to do silly things. Why? Because as parents, we try to take the, you know, the fifth commandment, honor your mother and father. So the Bible says, you honor me. You got to do that. And then even Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents. So with all these authoritative scriptures as parents, we try to take the authoritative route. That this is what has to happen. We feel this pressure for the kids to be obedient, which sometimes we need to understand that foolishness is actually what our kids will do. See, we got to recognize the cycle. Because see, once we see the disrespect, we need to understand something. Should I even feel disrespect, or should I understand that it's just a kid being silly? Because a lot of times we don't. We see silliness as disrespect. No, they're just being silly. It's a biblical thing. It's there in the Bible. Kids want to go out and throw rocks. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me where, what, how. They just like to do that. I remember when I was a kid, I was sitting outside the church, and a friend came with me. And right away, you know, I'm just sitting there minding my own business, right? I'm putting on my friend, right? Just doing nothing. My friend shows up, and all of a sudden, hey, you want to do something? I want to do something. Okay. Let's just do something. We used to have a tree on Royal Avenue, and olives used to fall. And so, you know, these little olives, they weren't rocks, but they were olives, and they were kind of cool. And we said, let's come up with a game. Let's see how close we can get to a car that's driving down Royal Avenue without hitting it. Just make up a game, right? So I'll never forget. We used to come, and car used to drive by, and oh, I got a foot, all right. And then he would try, oh, you know, and then cars would drive by. And then all of a sudden, I'll never forget one time, it was a black Camaro. And it came by, and it went, and I didn't think anything of it. I was just a little kid, and boom, I hit the back of the car. The moment that thing hit, I was still young. There was a fence right there. Whoop, boom, I hopped the fence, me and Robert. That's cold. I said, Robert, I threw his name under the bus. That's cold, huh? Robert Santiago, Kathy Rodriguez's son. That's cold. Just made the bus even bigger. That's cool. You know, he's done crazier things since then. And so we hopped over the fence. I remember we had curtains. I tried to hide in the curtain. The guy came over, and he's like, where'd your parents? And this guy was, yeah, this big dude. And, hey, and my dad came out. Whoa, what's going on? And I was like, what do I say? I'm a kid. I just wanted to do something silly. And believe me, my parents looked at it like, oh my gosh, my son, is that. But believe me, after a while, kids keep doing silly things. They start understanding, hey, he just wants to be silly. I don't need to teach him how to be silly. I need to teach him discipline on not to be silly. And little by little, I'll never forget that instance because believe me, I got the rod. I got the rod. For those of you that don't know what a rod is, it's a belt. Amen. It's right in the middle. Amen. The belt of truth. But you as a parent have to understand, is it just my kid being silly or is he disrespecting me? Because a lot of times they're just being silly. They're being foolish. And kids do foolish things. Psalms chapter 103 verse 13 says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Listen, my friend, we as parents, we need to pray for our reaction to our children. How do we react to our children? It's very, very important. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Romans chapter 2, verse 21. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures here. You then, who teach others, do you not teach yourself? That's a scripture for parents, especially right there. Teachers of the synagogue, but also parents in the synagogue. You then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? In other words, when you tell your son or daughter, hey, you better stop doing that. Do you stop doing that? You don't watch that. Are you watching that? You don't go there. Are you going there? Giving you a lot of scriptures here. We must remember kids are designed and valued and treated with significance. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13, another scripture. A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. I'm going to read that one more time. A happy heart makes the face cheerful. In other words, if Jesus is in your heart, show it on your face. If Jesus is here, he should be here too. Amen? I want you just right now, just everybody smile at me. Come on, just smile. Praise the Lord. See, you guys are so beautiful, gorgeous, and handsome. Matthew chapter 18, another one, verse 10 and 11. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. In other words, listen to me, parents. Don't deflate their spirit. Don't deflate their spirit. Encourage them. You as a parent should be an encourager. Bless them. Even when you feel your children may curse you, and that goes for those of you that are parents, your kids are outside of your house. Even if you feel that they're cursing you, you are there as a parent to encourage them, to bless them. Even though they may feel like they're on the pathway, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but on the pathway, it seems like destruction. Your job as a parent is to lead them down the right path. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. And find out what pleases the Lord. Ask yourself this. What is going on in my family's heart? What is taking place in my family's heart? And when you ask that question, right after you ask that question, ask yourself, what is going on in my heart? What is going on in their heart and what is going on in my heart? Prayerfully, it is what pleases the Lord. That is what God has called us to do. There should be a love and a respect. Listen to me. Whenever you come with a sign or an understanding of correction, you want to come from a foundation of love. Love. That's very, very important. See, you and I, as parents, we are to discern the code. Now, listen to me. I keep saying parents, and for those of you that are not parents, you think, well, this doesn't apply to me. No, my friend, in just a little while, it's going to apply to you. You're going to want to get married, I'm pretty sure many of you, all you singles. Inside, you just said amen. I'll say it for you. I know my sister does. Amen. My sister Valentina Pineda. About 5'7", beautiful, golden hair. She likes long walks down the Oakland Coliseum corridor. See, doesn't that beat eharmony.com right there? That beat it right there? Okay, back to the message. Listen, Parents, listen to me. This is very, very important. In the heat of the battle, stay cool. I feel like I got to say that one more time. In the heat of the battle, stay cool. Stay cool. You need to come from a foundation of love, especially you as the parent. Listen to me. And this is where a lot of parents get it twisted because they grow up and they think, okay, these are going to be my friends. No, you get heated battles with friends, but when it comes to children, you are there to keep a cooler heart. Your son or daughter, yeah, maybe if you want, that may be a component of your relationship as a friend, but they should not be your only friend, and that's it. No, that's not how it works. God didn't give you children to have friends. God gave you children to instill principles. You're a good steward of them. And listen, everything that I'm talking about, if you say, well, I don't have kids, if you're a godmother or godfather, you are exactly that. You are a father who brings principles from God. A godfather. You are a mother who brings principles of God. Or a godmother. So you can apply all these principles. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. He that is patient is very wise, in one version. Another translation says, he that is slow to wrath is of great intelligence. He that is slow to wrath is of great intelligence. Remember this, parents, we are wired for respect and children are wired for love. They want that love and affection. And it is our job to make sure as parents to bring in that love. And love sometimes, what's the first thing that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that love is? Love is what? Patient. That's the very first thing it says. It could have said anything else, but the very first quality that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that it says that love is that love is patient. You can almost stop right there and do a whole sermon on that. Love is patient. Love is patient. Listen to me. Even though your children fly off the handle, your job is to be patient. Even though your children, maybe even if they're older, 16, 17, 18, maybe they're living with you and they're 20, 21 years old, and they fly off the handle, your job is still to be patient. Their job is to be foolish. That's what children do. Children are foolish. Remember, foolishness is bound. In other words, it's like encompassed. It's surrounded by. That's all they know. They just know how to lie to you. That's just what they want to do. They want to lie to you. They want to disrespect you because they want to see if, is love really patient? Let's find out. They want to test you. Maybe some of you parents, you've never been tested, but I've been tested. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Listen to me. You and I, if we're going to stop this crazy cycle, then you know what we got to do? Stop it. Stop playing around. Stop playing around. Listen, your children are your children. They're not your peers. They're not your peers. See, your peers does something to you and you're like, oh, I'm going to get her back. I'm going to get him back. Just wait. If you have that spirit with your children, you're keeping the cycle going. You should not be wanting to get your child back. No, that's not what we're supposed to do. We don't get them back. We lift them up. That's our job. That's what we are supposed to. And listen to me. I understand the difficulty of everything that I'm saying. So that's why I'm giving you as much scriptures as I can. So you don't think, well, this is just pastor's opinion. This is not my opinion. This is the word of God, and the word of God is alive. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I love this next scripture. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 14. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So, okay, basically put it like this. Because many of you, you know, will ask, hey, how's it going? Oh, man, I'm going through hell, right? You've ever had that? Oh, man, my house. How is it, you know, at your job, you're perfectly fine. But you go home and it's like, oh, hell breaks loose. You know what your job is? Your job is to get the hell out. That's your job. your responsibility. So if you're saying, man, it feels like hell, well, your job is to bring heaven in. Bring heaven in, hell must leave. Stop the quarrel. This is very important, especially with those of you that you live with people that are there and they you just feel it in the atmosphere. You ever walked into a house and you had no idea what was going on, but you just walk in and you go, whoa. Something's up here. Why? Because what happens is that person, they walk into a dam that's been released. And they just feel a wave. They don't know what it is. They just feel it. What's going on here? Your job, especially to the fathers. I want to talk to the fathers. Especially to the fathers. That's your job as a father. Responsible father. Because a lot of times, there's a lot of different things going on here and there. Listen, I got two young girls. And they're young. They're little right now. I can't imagine when they get older. Because I've learned this, you know, because a lot of times, you know, and jokingly, humorously, we say, oh, she's 6 going on 16, right? But in all reality, I know she's 6 going on 7. She's not going on 16. Because when she gets 16, I'm going to know she's 16. So I'm not trying to skip it. I may say it humorously, oh, she's acting older. No, she's really not. She's acting 6. I need to teach her how to act 6. That's my job. And so if I feel the dam getting all over the place and the water's all over the place, and okay, hold on. Let's bring it here. Let's bring it home. That's my job. And I love it because actually that's what my wife does. When my wife feels it like, okay, it's getting out of hand, right away, Dad. And I'll be honest, sometimes it gets a little like, here I come with the plug, you know, all right. You know, and I know, and fathers understand, you understand what I'm saying, it gets a little tiresome on you, you're like, ah, but that's your job. Yeah. That's what you're supposed to do. Hey, let's keep the quarreling down here. Hold on, let's chill. We got to chill. That's why it's very important, you as fathers, you got to keep your head cool. Keep your heart cool. Our job is to bring heaven in and get hell out. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Proverbs chapter 19, get more scriptures. Are you guys getting some this morning? Yeah. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. That's probably one of my favorite scriptures right there. Because I try to apply this as much as possible. Some of your translations say, it is to earn their respect by overlooking wrongs. Right? Overlook the wrongs. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers all wrongs. Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers all wrongs. I know it's not there, but you could write it down. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 18. A hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. But the one who is patient calms a quarrel. Or a hot-tempered person starts fights, but a cool-tempered person stops them. When you keep your cool, you can stop them. Believe me, I've had this happen many a times over. And I went into that game the other day thinking, you know, it's Giants versus Dodgers. Somebody's going to start a fight. I got my son with me. How am I going to handle this? I went in prepared for that. That's how I thought. Thank God nothing happened. Nothing did happen. Well, at least around me. But nothing did happen. But, believe me, I've been in situations where people have started fights, and I've had my children around. Like, hey, hold on. You got to keep it cool here. That's my job. I got to keep it cool. For my son's sake, I got to show him, hey, you got to keep your cool. Don't get antagonized by everyone else. Don't get involved with everyone else. And believe me, we're coming up in a generation right now where they get enthused and excited and antagonized by what they see around them. When they see other quarrels, right now it's like, oh my God, world star, world, look at that, oh my God, look at it. Nobody wants to stop it. Everybody just wants to keep it going. That's our generation. I want you, listen, parents, that's the generation that you're living in. Where they say, oh, look at it, oh, let's all watch it, let's record it. Let's put it on the media. This is what's fun. No, my friend, that's not fun. There's no principles in that. You and I have to stop the quarrel. Amen. Listen, I want to ask you a question. As a parent, how big is your fuse? How big is your fuse? And if we are to be honest, the truth to be told, that the craziness in the family intensifies and it even worsens if the parents have an immaturity level of the same as the kids. It intensifies and even worsens if the parents have the same immaturity level as the kids. Listen, my friend, we are here to stop the crazy cycle. Listen, my friend, I am sick and tired of hearing and seeing all these things on the news and hearing about this and all this domestic stuff happening. Listen, my friend, if there's going to be a stoppage or a blockage of the dam in the city of Hayward, it's going to take men and women who apply the principles of God and say, no longer am I going to let the enemy have my household, but there is going to be a stoppage here because as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Come on, believe, if you believe that, give the Lord a hand of praise. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to stop this crazy cycle in our house. Can I hear an amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20. Dear brothers and sisters, do not be childish in your understanding of these things. Be innocent as babies when it comes to evil, but be mature in understanding matters of this kind. Listen to me, mom and dad. Show some fruit. Fruit. Good fruit, passion fruit, love fruit, peace, joy, long-suffering, goodness, kindness. I'm going to do a message one day on kindness. Because a lot of people think, well, yeah, I'm a Christian, but don't get it twisted, brother. I'll lay hands on you in the spirit. No, actually, there's no scripture that backs that up whatsoever. Like, there's nothing whatsoever that shares that. Because a lot of people think, you know, kindness is weakness. And actually, it's not. Kindness is the biggest form of strength of courage ever in the Bible. If that was the case, Jesus would have just kind of broke those chains literally and just started pushing everybody out the way. Get out of here. But he didn't do that. He said, go ahead. That's fine. Did you know that the Bible says that our kindness will bring people to repentance? That's what it says. Our kindness will bring people to repentance. Now remember, with children, irresponsibility is not disrespect. This is very important. Because a lot of times we think, oh, these kids are irresponsible. They're not respecting me. No, they're just being irresponsible. They're just being foolish. That's all it is. You and I have to understand that we are to be parents and guides. Somebody say guides. Now I'm going to give you something really quick, and then we're going to be done right here. I'm going to give you an acronym for GUIDES, G-U-I-D-E-S, GUIDES, GUIDES, that we are to be as parents, GUIDES. Number one is G, give, give. Give so that the child's needs can be met. Give so that the child's needs can be met. The scripture's right here. I know they're fixing it there on the computer. But it's Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, and 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. You and I are to be providers. Providers for our children. Now, this is very important. I'm going to speak in a couple weeks on giving, on finances and things like that. So I don't want to get too much into this. But our job as parents is not to give too little and don't give too much. As a guide, be a giver. But don't give too little and don't give too much. You don't want to spoil their hearts, nor do you want to make their heart dyslexic spiritually. And anorexic spiritually. You want to make sure that you understand that you are a giver. Listen, give to show love, not to make slaves. Because a lot of times, look, I gave that to you, now you better listen to me. No, you gave it to them because you love them. Hopefully, that's why you give. You give out of a foundation of love. You don't give to make slaves. I gave you this and I gave you that, and now you owe me. If you gave out of love, they don't owe you anything. They really don't. If you gave out of love. So that's why you and I must understand what giving really is. I don't want to go too much into this point, but you'll understand it as we go along. Amen? Number two. Understand. Understand so that the child is not provoked or exasperated. Understand so that the child is not provoked or exasperated. The scriptures here is the Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, and also Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. I apologize for not having it here. We're just having a little bit of technical difficulties. But understand so that the child is not provoked or exasperated. When it comes to understanding, the point here is that you got to put yourself in their shoes. Put yourself in their shoes. And I remember this point exactly because one day I remember I came home, and I used the principle that my father did. One time I came home, and I came home a little late, and my father knew what I was doing because he just kind of knew right away. I was probably about 15, 16 years old, and he knew right away. But my mom, she did not. I walked in the door, "Where were you at? What were you doing? What's going on?" All this, and then right away. So right away as a child, because remember, foolishness is bound up in a child. Even though I was 16, I was still a child. And so I was still there, came out, and so she wanted to go at it. So guess what? I was going to go at it. Well, you know what? Well, if you wouldn't and there it just came right there. Just boom, we just started going at it. Just started going at it, yelling and screaming and yelling and screaming. Then all of a sudden, here came my dad. Hey. First thing he said is, "Don't be yelling at your mother." That's the first thing. And then he said, hey, what's going on here? What are you doing? I said, "Well, I just came home. Josie, I got this." So right away, my father, myself, went, sat down. I didn't even tell him anything. He knew where I was. I was with a girl. He goes, "You were with a girl, weren't you?" No. "And you were over here, weren't you?" No. Right away, he just understood. And so right away, he took the opportunity to start teaching me a lesson in having relationships. And he just seen it right there. He understood. Didn't exasperate it. Didn't go over and provoke it. See, that's your problem. See, you don't know nothing about girls. Because the truth is, I didn't know anything about girls. I didn't know anything. So rather than speak the truth over a young, ignorant kid, he spoke the truth and put it in love to instill the principles in this kid. Still a kid, still foolish, but took the opportunity to understand. Listen, you and I are to understand. For those of you that have kids and they're older already and they have different kinds of problems and they're in on different over their head kinds of situations, your job is to understand their situation and instill the principles. We are guides. Can I hear an amen? Number three, instruct. Instruct. Instruct so that your child can know and apply God's wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1, and also 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Listen to me. You are your child's most important teacher ever. I'm going to say that one more time because a lot of times parents, I hear, they blame it on the education system. It's their fault. It's their fault. It's their fault. Listen, it's not their fault. You are your child's most important teacher of all time. Not their fifth period teacher. Not their sixth period teacher. Not their PE teacher. Not their biology teacher. You. You are the most important teacher that your child will ever have. I went to a Christian school for 13 years of my life, from kindergarten all the way till I graduated high school. And I never really tripped off it until I got out of high school. And when I got out of high school, I realized and I looked and I went, "Oh my gosh, that is so true." Because somebody asked me, "Where'd you go to school?" I said, "Oh, I went to school over here at Fremont Christian." "Oh, who'd you go to school with?" "Oh, I went to school with this person, that person." "Oh, okay." And then right away, they kind of made a good observance of my school. And they said, "Well, hey, that guy, he has a Hindu name. Was he Hindu?" I go, "Yeah, he actually was." And then he said, "Oh, that other guy, he is from the Orient, isn't he?" I go, yeah, he is. "Well, isn't he Buddhist?" "Yes, he is. That's very true." And we started going on down the line and on down the line. I didn't realize it, but man, I went to school with Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, all these different religions. I mean, tons of them. Now, I went to a Christian school. Every day, we read the Word of God. Bible was one of the periods.
We had to learn the Bible frontwards and backwards, from Genesis all the way to Revelations. We had to say it frontwards, and we had to say it backwards. The Bible. That was what we were supposed to do. Every day we'd stand up, say the Pledge of Allegiance. We'd do the whole thing. I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. It's ingrained in me, right? It's just there. We'd sing the song, "Our country 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, for thee I sing. Land where my father..." Every day. Now think about this. This is what I went to every day of my life. Yet I went to school with Muslims. I went to school with Buddhists. And I tripped out. I said, man, why would they let their kids go to a Christian school? This is Christ-centered. And we were very Christ-centered. Very Christ-centered in uniforms, in our speech, in our talk. I mean, I even put it this way. I got suspended for having a mustache. When I was a freshman in high school, you got to shave. I was like, I ain't shaving. This is cool. And so I'll never forget. That's how strict the school was. They were very, and so think about this. Muslims, Buddhists, all these different ones. Come on, wait, this doesn't make sense. You know why? Because the parents understood that they can care less with the education system. They just wanted them to get sophisticated, smart. They wanted them to get educated in science and biology and history. They knew that when they came home, they're going to instill the right principles in them. They didn't care what Bible class was 1 hour. What they teach them is for eternity. That's how they saw it. So they understood, go to the Christian school, that's perfectly fine. It's great education. But when you come home, we will teach you the principles of Muhammad. We will teach you the principles of Buddha. We will teach you. That's how they saw it. So listen to me. So for those of you parents, and I say that for this, for those of you the parents, oh, it's the school system. They're teaching them homosexuality. They're teaching them this, and they're teaching them that. So what? And that's what the world does. That's their job, to teach them stupidity. Your job is to teach them God. Your job is to be the greatest teacher they've ever known. So that way, when the world tries to infiltrate, they'll go, no, that's not true. That's not right. I know that a man is supposed to be with a woman, not a man with a man. I know that. Why? Because my parents have taught me that. It's instructed in me. Listen, that is our job. So listen to me. And I say that because I want to make sure that we as parents, we don't start blaming the education system. That's their job. They're supposed to educate 2 + 2. Your job is to teach them 1 + 1 + 1 equals the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's your job. Instruct. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Number 4, the D, discipline. Discipline, so that your child can correct poor choices. 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. I'll repeat these scriptures here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. And also Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18. The first one is 1 Kings chapter 1. Verses 5 and 6, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9, and also Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18. Listen to me. This is very important. Discipline is not punishment. Are you hearing me? Discipline is not punishment. You are teaching them wisdom. Don't do that. Because listen to me. One day they're going to grow older and they're going to get out of your house. And if you have not instilled discipline in them, they're going to just keep on touching the stove. Just keep on touching the stove. They're going to keep doing it. And man, I'm going to tell you right now, I am learning so much by having 4 children. I am learning a lot having 4 children. Does anybody have 4 children or more? Anybody have 4 children or more? Be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, a few, 7. Oh, yeah, you got 4 children or more. Praying for you, amen. And so for those of you that have a lot of children, you understand how difficult this is, right? Even if you have 1 child, you understand how difficult it is. Because what we want to do is we're prone to do the discipline that was given to us. That's what we're prone to do. But what was given to us a lot of times was punishment. It wasn't discipline. It was punishment. Get over there in that corner and don't speak ever again. Turn your head. I don't want to see your head. I don't want to see your mouth. I want to hear you breathe. Just get over there. Listen, when you discipline, you need to discipline for wisdom, not for the sake of relieving stress. Because if you do that, you're going to lose out on the opportunity to bring principles. You and I, our job is to discipline and discipline according to the love of God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Listen to me. It's a lot better for you to discipline them in your house rather than go visit them in the jailhouse. Discipline them now. It's very important. Now, for those of you that have children in the jailhouse, okay, it's time to go in that jailhouse, pray for them, and let them know, hey, son, hey, daughter, I'm praying for you. I am your mom, I am your dad, and I am praying for you every single day. But for those of you right now that you say, hey, listen, maybe I didn't have these principles growing up. You have the opportunity right now with your grandchildren. You got it right now with your grandchildren. Don't lose out on this same opportunity of saying, well, I'll let them. No. I want to make sure. Listen, you know what grandfather is? It's a father 1,000 times. That's what you are. You're a mother 1,000 times. You get to spread love 1,000 times. Give peace 1,000 times. That's our job as parents. Can I hear an amen? Amen. The second to last one, encourage. Encourage. Encourage so that your child can develop God-given gifts. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, and also Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, and also Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. Listen, when you encourage your children, you teach them success. When you encourage your children, you teach them success. It's something that you and I can do. My father used to say that success comes in cans. So get yourself a can opener. So guess what? You are the can opener. You can do it, son. You can do it, daughter. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Encourage your son. Encourage your daughter. Even when you see everything all around, listen to me. Your job as a parent is to see heaven in a hellish atmosphere. Man, my kids are giving me hell. Okay, your job is to give them heaven. Amen. Encourage them. I know you may not see it. Man, she's lying to me. I know she's lying. I know she's like that. And you're just like, ooh, I want to slap the lion out of her. Well, before you slap the lion out of her, instill the love inside of her. Listen, even though you're lying to me, it's fine. Even though you're disrespecting me, that's fine. I know that God's got great plans for you. I know it. You can lie to me all you want, but one thing that you cannot lie about is the truth that God has a plan for your life. Speak life over them. Try. I'm telling you, try this. Even in the midst of it all, and I say it because this is exactly what my father did. I'm trying to give you some teenage principles because I know a lot of you have teenagers. So even in the midst of a lot of this teenage stuff, where they go, oh man, they're doing this to me, and they're giving me a bad name. It's okay. It's fine. Foolishness is bound up in the hearts of children. Your job, bring it in them, encourage them. Matter of fact, bless them. Try this. My mom used to do this. We would go to bed, and the door would close, right? Because, you know, when they're kids, the kids want the door open just a little bit. But when they become teenagers, right? Somehow the door just. That's how you know you have a teenager in your house. It's just, Mom, leave the door open. They grow up. Close the door. Don't come in my room. No trespassing. Better knock. So when I became a teenager, my mom used to do this. I close the door, you know, do my own thing, blast some music. And she used to come. She just put her hand on the door. And she just pray over it. Even when I cussed her out, she prayed over my room. I thank God I had a mom that wanted to bless me, even though I wanted to curse her. She prayed for me.
Even though I didn't want anything to do with her, she still prayed for me. She encouraged me. Believe me, that was very hard to do with her upbringing. My mom grew up in East LA. She used to get beat for doing dumb things. That's how she grew up. So it's very difficult. And some of you, you used to get beat, right? You used to get beat for just doing, like, just barely moving the cup. Who did that? Boom. You get beat. Who put that over there? And I'm going to, boom, and you would get beat. So right away, that inclination comes inside of you. But you know what? Get over here. But I want to challenge you. Turn that fist, turn it into a prayer hand. Amen. Put your hand on the door. Pray for them. Encourage them. Even though they're like, Mom, get out of my house. Get out of my room. Fine. I'll get out of your room, but I'm never going to get out of your life. I'm always going to put the power of God in your life. Can I hear an amen? Amen? And the last thing leads to this. Supplicate. Supplicate, which means prayer. Pray so that your child can experience God's touch and God's truth. So that they can experience God's touch and God's truth. I want the ushers, maybe one of the ushers can go get the children now and bring them in. We're going to bring in all the children right now. And they're going to come in. And we're going to close out like this, so you don't have to go get them. They're going to come to you. But as they come, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 16. I'm giving you a lot of scriptures here. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 19. I don't have time to read all of them, so I'm just going to give them to you. And Matthew chapter 19, verse 13 and 19. Pray with confidence that God listens to us. And he speaks to them. That God would listen to us and he would speak to them. Listen to me, mom and dad. Pray over your children. Pray for them. Pray for your son. Pray for your daughter. This is where you, even as parents, where they're not in your house, pray for them. Yeah. Believe God for miracles for them. Can I hear an amen? Amen. This is one of the greatest things that you can ever do. And that is have prayer and supplication over their life. Pray that God helps your child to have a trusting and obedient heart in him. That is our job. Listen to me, mom or dad. I want to challenge you. One of the things that my mom used to do, she told me when I grew up, but she started praying for my wife when I was 5 years old. Yeah. It's never too early to pray for your the spouse of your child. If you got a son, start praying for his wife right now. If you got a daughter, start praying for her husband right now. Start praying for him right now. I said, well, that doesn't make any sense. That's why it's called faith. That's why it's called faith. You don't see it, but that's okay. Pray for him now. Pray that God would speak life over them right now. Listen, that's one of the greatest things that you can do as a parent. Go ahead and bring the children in. I want the children to come with some of the parents. Like, I know we got the nurseries. And listen to me. I know as the children come in, they're going to start being silly. Right? Because that's what they do. They speak out of turn. They yell out of turn. They cry out of turn. Everything's out of turn. And it gets you in a U-turn all the time. Where are you going? Get over here. What's going on? Don't worry about it. I'd rather the hearts of the children turn in the house of God than in the streets. So as they come in, listen to me, parents. I want to challenge you. I know many of you parents, you've been having a very difficult time, probably as difficult a time as I've been having with this microphone over my ear. Come on, kids. Come sit with your parents. They're going to be drawn to you. They know where you're at. Don't worry about it. They know exactly where you're at. They know where mom is. They know where dad is. They know where grandma or grandpa is. They're coming. Come on, beautiful girl in the pink boots with the rain. All right. This is very important to me because this is what we're going to do. Now, I know some of you, your children are here, so they're going to come to you. Some of you, your children are not here. So what we are going to do is we're going to pray right now with and over our children. We're going to pray with and over our children. Now, for those of you, men's home, how many of you guys have kids? The men's home. All right, almost all you guys. Almost all you guys have kids. So I understand that your children are not here, right? They're currently not here. Some of you, they're out of the city, out of state. But in order to teach them the principles that you want, you as a man
must first put the principles in you. You got to put them in you. It's very important. That's the stuff that breaks the curses. Amen. It breaks the curses. You don't want your son to be a drug addict, right? Okay, break it now. Break it now. That's one of the reasons why we tell you don't leave the home until it's broken. Don't leave it. I'm very passionate about that because my father was in the home. If he'd have left, I wouldn't be alive. So on behalf of your children that you do not see, don't leave. Don't leave. You're more important to your family than what you see. You're important. Donald, you're important. You're very important. You guys are important. Dewan, you're important. Manny, you're important. You guys are important, man. I'm telling you. So you think you're just here. I'm away from my family. No, you're not away from your family. You're not away. You're being built for. There's a difference. Huge difference. Away from your family is, I want nothing to do with my family. That's away. But where you're at is being built. You're being built for. I look at the home like this. The home is a place where you go and fight for your family, just like a soldier goes and fights for America. The same way. But you do it in the spirit. You do it in the spirit. Listen, when they fight, those soldiers that fight for America, they don't fight for America in America. They go to different countries. They're in Germany right now, Afghanistan right now. They're in Africa right now. All those soldiers, they're all over the world. They're not here, but they fight for us over there. And I thank God for them. Amen. Every Marine, every soldier, every Navy, I thank God for them. Well, listen to me. In the same way, you are fighting for your family. So when you think, oh, I want to fight this guy, you don't want to fight that guy. You want to fight the principle that is coming against you. The Bible says, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. You know what you're getting violence against? Violent against? You're getting violent against wanting to be violent. That's what you're being violent against. You need to fight against that desire to fight. And don't fight with this. Fight with this. Get on your knees. Fight for them. They need you. All right, now to the rest of us here, I know that we got all our children here. How many of you love your children? How many of you kids love your parents? See, that's okay. But isn't it okay for them to do that? Like, nah, it's okay. It's all right. They don't know because they're learning, and that is your job to teach. So, all the parents, listen to me. We're going to conclude right here. We're going to end the service. But we're going to end in prayer together. So if we can, let's all do this together. Come on, everybody, let's stand together. Come on. All right. Now, for those of you parents that your kids are with you, you can pray a little bit more emphatically. But for those of you that your children are not here, you're going to take this opportunity to pray for them within your spirit.